it's Jasmine. Welcome back to Sleep Snatchers, and thank you guys for sticking around after this long hiatus. We have quite a few great people that I've been interviewing that we will be releasing the episodes on shortly, and I want to welcome Pat to the show. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Looking forward to talking about things.
Absolutely. And yes, Pat will be talking about his sleep paralysis experiences during this episode. I'm going to turn the floor over to Pat, and I'll be asking a few questions like I always do through the interview. So take it away, Pat.
All right. Well, I had sleep paralysis for like kind of a period of a year and a half. And that was about 3 or 4 years ago now. So thankfully, it's kind of decreased and then not hitting me so frequently. But when it was pretty consistent, and context walking away from it and everything now puts it a lot in the type of job that I had. I had what I consider a pretty stressful and immoral job. I worked for a call center in a downtown urban, you know, complex capacity. And it's all automotive and stuff like that. So it would hook and snare people into, you know, financing cycles and stuff that, you know, is pretty icky. So there was a lot kind of going on there, and they were taking away worker rights, blah, blah, blah. So I tried to unionize them and then got fired for it and yada, yada. So it was pretty fun and up and down and yo-yo-y. And that was kind of the thick of when I was having sleep paralysis and really getting affected by it pretty hard. And it had a pretty casual onset, I guess. Like the first thing that I tracked as strange or whatever was like an onion skinning fall where I fell through the ceiling back down into bed. And that happened like kind of over and over again in its same sequence. It was like the one time that it happened, but it was forever. And that was weird. And that kind of pegged me and started making me look into more dream world stuff and everything like that. Then the next one was when I knew that my girlfriend was supposed to be coming home at the time. I was back early and I was like, all right, I'll take a nap before she gets back, like 20 minutes or whatever. So I set a phone alarm and went down. And then I kept waking up like too many times over and over again. Heard the door open and stuff, and then footsteps, as you would anticipate your person coming home. And then as they kind of like looped, the footsteps changed into not their steps. You know, like you can hear the pattern of somebody you know. And then it changed, and then they were kind of fucking with you where they don't come up to the door. They're just like loitering in the back edges of the house. So like everything with my experiences was just getting it closer and closer and closer and closer.
Yes, it's so real. It's
yeah. And then that one was weird. That was the first kind of like evidence of malicious entity thingy thought. You know what I mean? The others, the onion skin fall and everything, was just kind of like weird dream stuff, but this had presence of something else. Then just a couple of different iterations of shadow figures and forms getting closer to the room, standing on the other side of the door with it shut, but the feet at the crack of it. And then getting into the room further, kind of living in the corner, stuff like that. I never really had any touching or tangibility or anything like that. They never really kind of breached the perimeter of the bed area. It's always corner edging. And then the last one. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry to cut you off. I was going to ask, did you ever experience like any ringing in the ears during these particular moments?
Oh, right. Yeah. The atmosphere. Right. So those were just sequences of like events and how things blocked out. But yeah, in each of the vignettes of it, just we had the white noise, static hum, kind of pressure in the air certainly came about. That's it's just straight auditory claustrophobia, you know. It's pretty strange. And then that also kind of translates into a similar feeling in hymns, like the auditory pattern of the white noise feels like how your numb, paralytic limbs feel.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I don't know, just the thick atmosphere. I mean, everybody talks about it, and there's not too many ways to get around it, but just the feeling of dread, just that like kind of fog in the room that it sets in. That's what I'm interested in trying to make movies out of it and everything. Like, you can show the sequence of a spooky creature in the corner and stuff like that, but can you actually make a sequence that just instills that type of dread without it being any type of jump thing or anything like that? Just mm-hmm. this like horrible, ominous knowing or whatever this is. Yeah. And those were the things that were all kind of stacked on top of each other. And then there was a period of time where things kind of chilled and quieted down. And then a pretty gnarly sequence where, and it was more of a, it's like a half dreamy state kind of thing. I think it was a kind of like a vacation or something like that, sleeping in like a strange place. And we were having fun. So, you know, we were drinking earlier in the day and stuff like that. So it was like a weird, shallow, not proper sleep. Mm-hmm. But each other time that any type of shadow figure showed up, it was like one at a time. Maybe it got towards like two or three, but they were just extras in the background. But then this thing was like an Alcatraz-y kind of thing. It was like an infinite wall all the way up on the right side.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then kind of crumbling video game level looking shit with like a cosmos on the outside. Mm-hmm. And then the Alcatraz wall on the side was just stuffed with shadow figures. The last podcast that I listened to, a guy was talking about the Harry Potter figures, the Dementors, the shadow mm-hmm. wraiths and stuff like that. And that was up there. And that was just like a Colosseum chanting cacophony of all the stuff you would anticipate and expect from malicious shadow figures.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So
they're up to no
that
good.
That one was weird. That one was more recent and hasn't been as placed as the other things.
And when you had that experience, did you sort of get like popped back into your body, or did you just wake up?
I don't even remember that one, how it terminated. I think it was just like a fuzz out, because it was one of those like shallow, dreamish kind of things. Like, I was still hearing stuff in the native environment too. Mm-hmm. You know,
definitely.
Didn't track the same.
Yeah, I had this dream. Oh, man, it was like a lucid dream, but I was there. It was almost like I was astral projecting mixed with the lucid dream, because I could control it to a certain degree. And this was probably last week, but this location I've been to several times over and over for years. And I was in this hotel, and I was supposed to be on vacation, but I ended up being a nanny, and I was interacting with the family. And then this lady that was looking for me ended up in there with me, and she killed the people. And I was trying to leave the hotel. It was so crazy, man. And I got in my car, and I was like, why won't the car start? And the car was dragging, and she caught up to the car, and like, I had to fight back. I was just like, this is so strange. But the best thing I could chalk it up to was an entity really effing with me, just trying to see what it could get out of me. And, you know, it was intense.
Yeah, well, and that's like always the spookiest thing with it, is the intent. Like I said, there's this like ominous knowing in it, and I think that's where the dread and the just a palpable fucking icky of these situations is different than just a normal kind of random dream, which like I have horrible dream recall, like with normal dreams, mm-hmm. or anything like that. Only this stuff has stood out. Like I got kind of a couple of like, oh yeah, I remember that dream, or I remember this thing.
Yeah.
But not so much. So that's always been like, yeah, why so tangible? Why so real?
It's so much realism behind it that it's almost shocking, you know, like then and there, it's as real as sitting in this chair having this conversation with you. And then when you end up back in the physical, you're like, hold on, did that happen? And you ask yourself over and over.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I had a re-remembering as we just talked more, but in different things that happened just like in the bedroom, just like looping, because like I had the onion skin like ceiling fall, which, you know, I can gather some astral reconnection kind of stuff. But I've never been able to lucid dream or astral project or anything like that. So that stands out as like, okay, I see the edge of that. Not looking to explore it too much. But then outright sleep paralysis, no, you know, just the struggling of fingers and limbs and all your small micro movements and everything. But then after a while, it seemed to like give me leash and let me get a little bit further. You know, you could start to sit up a little bit further, mm-hmm. but then next time through, you could kind of get up, sit on the edge of your bed. And eventually I kind of got towards the door and everything. But at the each end of those, that was a very fast whipping back of what leash was given, like mm-hmm. super low, struggled, and like, all right, victorious. And then you get there and you get to sit up and it rips you back down. And then like, that's when I would wake up kind of on those things. So it's, you know, less with the shadow people stuff, more with the kind of bodily control things.
It's like a rubber band snap. I think anybody that's listening that has experienced that, they're probably smiling right now.
Yeah, well, and that was what like really pegged me and interested me. Maybe that's even why I remember it a little bit more. Because that's what I got interested in with trying to work with it on a movie and everything. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we can talk about a bunch of stuff. People can draw a bunch of pictures. You could write and describe and listen to an audiobook and da da da. But film is going to be one of those very unique medias that would be able to actually demonstrate what the hell all this is. And I wanted to try to get stuff that can show or induce or give the actual vibe of what it is to be in those sequences, as opposed to like watching a movie about somebody who has it, if that tracks or makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the static pressure of that and everything, like fun sound design, you know, it's a super fruitful territory to work with. And we did all right in that first version, but you know, since then, and since a couple of further dreams and experiences, you know, kind of clicks together a little bit more, makes a little bit more sense. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think
lose the track.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I just think it's the immersive experience of being a part of the paralysis. Like, I've seen a few shows that people have created on Netflix that they only show you the theory parts of sleep paralysis, but they only show you to a certain degree of what that person is experiencing. It's not them exploring, it's them stuck in their bed looking at a blob, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, for me, I want it more, you know, when I finished watching it, that's what pressed me to see what other people first and foremost are experiencing for the realism of it, but also knowing that it can go further than just the documented, here's what happened to me aspect. It can be, well, instead of here's what happened to me, look at what happened to me, you know, and like basically taking them into your body so you actually see exactly what that person is seeing during that time of experiencing that phenomenon.
Yeah, no, right on. Yeah, because like there have been people in the audience that have seen this short and come up, whoa, that's exactly what that felt like. They've had the sequences. And then a couple of others that didn't have an understanding. They didn't do their Google time. They didn't have, but they were like, "That I had that type of dream." And then that'll start with the wormhole, you know, for them. So I think that, you know, that's major, you know, Spotify with where it's going and how podcasts are kind of taken over as its primary medium. That's huge. And I, you know, your show spreading a ton of awareness and doing that, because looking in on the internet, like, you know, you get a bunch of Wikipedia stuff, you get the idea, da da da, but I end up kind of thinking, not that I haven't done it, but thinking about like DMT and how all of the reported trips are so uniform and everybody, you know, has blah, blah, blah. Same thing with this shit, you know? So the commonality is just a little too there for there not to be more to look at.
Oh yeah. Like I will say, like I did for my boyfriend's birthday last year, we did shrooms and we did a full dose each, and it was my first time ever partaking on a journey like that. I had no idea what I would be expecting, but I was strongly surprised that it was a lot like the astral projections that I've experienced through my life. And I ended up in so many different realms and dimensions with beings, you know, like that are like, I think they're fucking real, man. Like, I met this, like, I don't know if I went back in time, but I ended up in the pyramids sort of area. And this dude was walking like a woolly mammoth, and washing up into this dimension was warm. It felt like water was washing over you. And I asked somebody, I was like, man, did you, when you did shrooms, what was it like? Because I've just been thinking about this for weeks at the time. And he was like, man, I saw pyramids. What did you say? I said, what? He was like, yeah, I saw pyramids. I said, dude, I saw pyramids. What the fuck? And he was like, man, I never talked to anybody about this. I need to talk with other people. Asked another person, Vaishnavi, what did you see? This is my friend. Jasmine, pyramids. What? And so it's a correlation. Now, for me, I ended up meeting a lot of entities, and my boyfriend on the other hand was like riding a dragon, so I was like, he's not experiencing what I'm experiencing. And so I did some more research about like entities that people have seen on shrooms, and some people have seen some similar entities, but like the entities I saw, they were almost like humanoid figures but different colors. Like I met a purple lady. I ended up passing through this dude's like tube or like whatever he was in, but he was blue and he had like these nodes all over him. But when he saw me like pass through, he started laughing. He was like, ha ha ha, you know, like it was just so real. Like I felt his breath of laughter on my face, and I can't make this shit up. And I ended up like in this plane with this three-headed dog. The middle head was gone, and I like it was telepathically telling me what happened to it. I was like, man, that's terrible, gotta go. And then so it was like no other, and it was such an experience. Like your body's cold because you're honestly, I feel like your soul is up there somewhere, you know. And you know, I was shivering at the end of the day from the experience, but it was a lot to unpack, man. I started crying just because of the realization of this life and in our souls and spirits. And it was very deep and profound.
Well, yeah, I've had not similar like adventure stories, but like similar, you know, shroom situations and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that tees up a different, you know, wormhole of looking into stuff and influence and research. And one of the things, you know, you talk pyramids, old school stuff, just good old school esotericism. starts to kind of come up a little too frequently for you to, you know, ignore it. And one of the better things that I found was Damian Eagle's book, High Magic. So he's an intensely interesting character. Got enough out there right now that I think he's being a very good advocate for just this exposure, you know, in life. Like, they, you know, there's too many people talking about it for it to just continue to live in under the couch cushions, you know. So his book kind of starts to give you walkthroughs and basic 101 stuff in ritual magic. And one day I was giving it a go, and did the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram and like the Kabbalistic cross. And in that kind of meditative state, you know, even just in a even just meditating like before an office meeting or something like that, and you close your eyes and you have, you know, your color shapes and things start moving around and congealing into something. But with so directed of thoughts, you know, given the prompting of that type of ritual thing, they start, you know, you can move them around and you can start to take shape with it. And in that sequence, they took on body shape forms. And had head, shoulder, you know, and then kind of tapered down into nothing. And then I don't think it was then, right in the moment or whatever like that, but just around that time, it dawned that, like, this is kind of the same thing that was inside of the sleep paralysis stuff. It's that it has the same vibe and the same presence and everything, but the flip coin of the energy spectrum of positive, negative, malevolent, benevolent, like, so that was just kind of a strange thing. And then it sat and it stewed on me for a while. And I'm reading a bunch as I'm going through all this stuff. And it's like, it's an information overload thing. Cause like, if you read, one side of tract and you look at it with like scientific rationalistic explanation, they say, oh, it's stressors and anxieties from the contemporary modern world and blah, 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 blah. This kind of Fight Club, Tyler Durden stuff that's why you're seeing people in your dreams. And it's like, okay, sure. But then also the whole shared by bajillions of people over a whole bunch of fucking time, that there's a little bit too much consistency for that to just be bred as I'm stressed out from the workplace. So something else going on with that. And then, like I say, looking into more and kind of given esotericism its time in the sunlight, kind of just points out that it's awareness of the situation, right? And then that, because that's what starts the wormhole. You kind of get the sensation, you look it up, you find some similar descriptions of it, that starts to point it out. And then, like for me at least, when I first started looking into it, there was like a crisis of action. Where like by looking into it and reading into it and occupying my thought with it all the more, am I begetting it to happen more? And so you kind of do this, well, like, should I just kind of like not look into it and then it'll kind of like go away a little or something? And not so much, you know. Mine didn't even really go away. I just feel better because I quit a shitty situation and things are going better for me.
Good for you, man.
that's about the end of that side of it. But that flip with the lesser banishing ritual and that kind of revelation, as it were, that it's just, okay, it's information overload and you're unfamiliar with the vocabulary, you're unfamiliar with the territory, and so these things, you know, can present themselves as threatening and overwhelming and smothering and oppressive and all sorts of stuff. But then if you kind of start to get the gist, you know, of what all this shit's kind of trying to say through the ether, then it can kind of flip and take a different tone, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, and one thing that I think of when we explain this is the movie Dr. Sleep. The second one. It explains so well when that lady left her body. Yeah. And I was like, oh, like, yeah. This is how people leave their bodies that are doing it all the time, you know? So they exactly, somebody's been astral projecting that helped write that movie. And it was also the same with, what movie was I just thinking about? It just slipped my mind. It wasn't Doctor Strange anymore. It was, I'll think about it as we keep talking, but it was another film that made me stop you just now, and it completely just, sure. I left the train, but here, I'll think about it as we keep talking.
Well, you talk about some movie references, and I was saying that, like, I've been interested in the dread of the situation, like, how do you actually get that feeling across, and I just advocate for its viewing. David Lynch's Rabbits was one of the few things. I mean, you could argue maybe that it has something to do with this shit, but I don't think so. Mm-hmm. It's just a weird short, but there's portions in it where things occur, and you're like, whoa, that made me feel right back where where I was. Mm-hmm. A few movies or things I've seen have actually been able to do that. So when they are, it's like, wow.
Exactly. And that's why Dr. Sleep stuck with me, because I was like, oh. Oh, she, yep. It was a very deep connection.
Yeah, yep. I'm interested to kind of to explore it a little bit more. Because I think, yeah, the interest and awareness of it is growing more and more. And the more content that is made about it in varying platforms and media, it's going to make it a little bit more acknowledged and understood of a thing. So I think that kind of, if anybody who's got it that's creative in their ways, they kind of got it. There, you're getting provided the perfect material to work with. So don't you have to?
Well, see, my goal is to, I would love to make a movie and enter it within Cannes Film Festival to get a major screener with it. And see where that takes us, like doing a nice strong festival route and pre-sales and then distributing it to platforms. I think that would be an overall process of how it could meet the masses if it's done right.
Yeah, well, I think they're accessible. There was a good doc, I can't remember it, but they did a lot of talking head interviews and then some recreation sequences. I think it was maybe just called The Nightmare or something like that.
Mm-hmm, it is.
Yeah, okay, thanks. And that was pretty good. And that's what made me start thinking about it, because like their recreation sequences were solid. But like, I hope to not be too deriding, but like just not cinematic enough. Like, you know, like being on the inside and knowing how the sausage.
Oh, absolutely.
There was absolutely. No air in the air. The lighting was there. You know, I want to spend some more time and make some love to the sequence, you know, and mm-hmm. and it just felt a little wham bam, thank you, ma'am. And they were riding on the interviews a little bit more. So to me, it's about, again, I'll bring him up. I hate to be the filmmaker who talks about Lynch the whole time, but, mm-hmm. you know, just that ability to suck you into a mood and a place and an atmosphere and have the movie make you that its own, you know, like you have to forget about everything else while this is going on, because it's just like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, it's truly a talent, you know, and I'll be the first to tell you some of the things that I've seen on Netflix in the last year. I'm like, who greenlit this? I get so mad.
Yeah. Yep.
Who greenlit this?
They're paydays, you know.
Right.
So I think it's very fun, and like I say, I thank you for being diligent enough to talk about it and to open up the conversation about it too, because if it was as one note is only talking about sleep paralysis and not getting into you know, astral projection, the other kind of stuff, it's not going to open up the conversation wide enough to, you know, like I say, hopefully kind of cite and start bringing in some esotericism, meditation, stuff like that, because all of the things outside of congenial conversation are overlapping too frequently, you know, so.
Oh yeah, and you know, with with 4 out of 10 people that experience these phenomenon. That's a lot of people. Yeah. so that's almost 50%, but it's 40%. And if you take that 40% and you multiply, or if you do the math with 333 million people in just the United States alone, that's almost half the country that has experienced some form of out-of-body disposition that they don't understand. And some people go under the knife and they leave their body. Some people have anesthesia administered to them and they still are awake, even though their body is out. And that is a form of paralysis, you know. And man,
that is one of the most unfathomable things to me, is the awake during surgery. That would, I lose my shit during that. That would be the worst.
You know, even if a tear rolls down, ooh, will they see it? Will they see the tear? Ooh. But I've read some stories about people that have had that sort of phenomenon happen. That's where I was going. So I recently went to the Spirit and Wellness Expo. This was last year, and I made great connection with these ladies, Conscious Chrysalis, and they do great things. They have an actual brick and mortar shop out here in Schaumburg, and they do crystal healings, and they do Reiki, and they talked to me, and they were like, oh, you're buzzing. I want to do a crystal session on you. And so I was like, okay, you know, like I haven't done this before. And so I sit down and they have like this bed sort of thing that you lay on, and they gave me some headphones and it was like music swirling. And she was like, I'm just going to circle you with these crystals. And she was like, here's a mask for your eyes. So I didn't know anything that was going on. I didn't hear anything that was going on. And so she started to do her thing, and I feel this tug on my leg, man. And I'm like, I grabbed it because it started tickling so much. I was like, stop, what are you doing? And she was like, I'm not touching you. And she was like, I'm trying to pull this thing off of you and it won't come off. Now, the crazy thing is, during the shrooms experience, my leg had like a gold link on it that was just going up into the air. But when I was a kid, my mom used to come in the room and find my leg in the air. And she would say, I just knock it down because she didn't know what to do. All this shit started bombarding me, you know? And I was like, oh my God, like what? She knows about this leg that just comes up. And she's saying that there's something stuck to me on it. And she was explaining that it's this like past life thing that won't leave you. And she tried to get rid of it. And I was like, what the hell is it, Aaron? And she was like, I don't know what it is. I'm trying to figure it out. But it's like, it's this shiny, this chain on your leg, and it's keeping you. And I was like, well, is it good? Is it bad? She was like, I didn't get anything negative from it. I just think it likes you. And I was like, I was like, this is so crazy from the experience that I had with the shrooms. Yeah. I actually saw it. And then I had the experience as a child where my limbs would just have that floating limb syndrome. Yeah. And it's crazy because I've had about 5 people tell me about their limbs floating since I've started this podcast. Yeah. I don't know what the connection is. But yeah, like it was mind-boggling for me, and I just scratched my head the whole day, and I was like, what is this shit, like what's going on? But it's always been going on. It's just something we can't see in the physical, you know.
Well, yeah, and yeah, that, I mean, describing some of that, you know, a dream reading, just symbolism, visual metaphor and stuff like this. My wife found us an old book, it's like 100-year-old book we found in a bookstore. Mm-hmm. It's like 1001 Dreams Interpreted, and it's just perfect, good old bookstore find. And you flip through that, and you're like, well, all right, like, it's all consistent. You know, I think they didn't have cars in it yet, but you just walk over whatever had wheels, you know. Same idea. And another, it makes me think, because I got esotericism, blah blah blah. I had an English degree from school, so I'm well read with this stuff, and that's what gives me the vantage for it. And I did another short on a Greek myth. So I spent a lot of time in Greek mythology and all this. And all of those tones, tropes, and overarching themes and everything are the same things that end up coming up in astral projection territories and dream interpretations and stuff. So that's the other side of my like cinematic proselytizing is, you know, I want to work with mythology things more, because I think like those two are just hand in glove, that, you know, you go back and you read a couple of Greek myths under these certain lenses or this or that, and it takes on, you know, totally new circumstances, instead of how we kind of normally do sword and sorcery kind of Game of Thrones pseudo period piece thing. It's like, well, if you grant that the story is in itself allegorical, this, that, whatever, you can work with it and dream map upon it. Like that's how Joseph Campbell derived the hero's journey and all of this. So it's like, if you go back and you give it credence from its day and age, it takes on a different tone and quality than going back and reading it through Joseph Campbell and the hero's journey, if that makes sense. Like kind of, you're talking about some past life regression stuff. And I think that that's what that links up with, is like understanding those myths given the context of those that lived it and believed it, compared to our contemporary, you know, modern centric interpretation of applying our history to it. So the more I listen to the other people talk about their other planes journeys and things like that, the more it's like, yeah dude, like we just stopped kind of telling these stories and stopped taking them seriously. They became entertainment because somebody somewhere said that stories are for entertainment, instead of processing, synthesizing, and fucking getting shit straight, you know?
Mm-hmm. They're like, this isn't information, this is a story. Yeah. You know, and it brings up another thing that's going on. So I've got two ladies that have, I believe they both come on the show, and they both have talked about going to the same astral location. And this is big because it's two people that have been to the same place, and we're actually going to do an episode with them talking about the same place together. So that's what I have planned probably next month, because both of their schedules, we got to get them aligned. But I'm so excited for this episode, because not only does it validate that somebody that's in a different part of the world is seeing something that's in the same part of the world, there's a guy that was a remote viewer, and a lot of people didn't know if he was telling the truth, but he was literally like closing his eyes and remote viewing locations and saying, it's here, it's here. And then the military would go there and find exactly what the hell he was talking about. So in a sense, these two ladies have been to the same location in the astral plane, which is like, what? Say that again. Which I'm sure a lot of people may have passed through this location, but to have two people that have come on the show and then, you know, tell me.
Well, you'll start being able to map it after a while, right? You got two people right now, but that should, you know, conceivably grow pretty quickly. So you got all the groups and everything online that are following with the sleep snatchers and this. Yeah, you'd be able to start mapping the territory a little bit. Mm-hmm. which would be quite weird. Sure, people can fuss it down and say they're, you know, conspiring or whatever like that, but it's like, yeah. Particularly with a couple dozen to hopefully get it up towards hundreds of accounts if it starts really going.
That's and what I'm hoping for.
The only horrible thing is going to happen when everybody starts drawing and it comes out being Lovecraft's real yak or something like that. And it's all just like legit real.
I think it'll be surprising. It'll be scary, but groundbreaking at the same time. Because, you know, like there's been experiences where like I've been awake and felt spirits around me, and they, like, my mom and I, we used to live in this like apartment. This was when I was like a freshman in high school, And now this building was always eerie because it always felt like somebody was doing weird shit, like witchcraft and stuff. And the energy that they would bring in spread through the whole building because it was connected. And so one night, I'm asleep, my mom is asleep, and I get these pressure points, shoulders, toes, both same time, but deep push. It made an indent. I felt it. It woke me up. And then as soon as I woke up, there's a razor that I had in the bathroom that had a suction cup. It fell. And so my mom gets up and she goes, "What the hell was that?" She's in a completely different room, but she didn't hear the razor, but she said something was standing over her while she was having sleep paralysis and had these Goldilocks curls, you know, and it was like over her. And she was like, "I could not move." And then that razor fell and that woke me up. And it was the strangest thing, but in that apartment, I remember experiencing so much strange stuff. Like I had sleep paralysis one day. I was napping after school. If anybody wants to astral project, just nap during the day. and I was stuck, and this white light was in front of me, but from this white light emerged a man's face. It fucking scared me. And I yanked up out of my sleep and was like, "Oh, I don't want to see another man again." It was really scary. But this was me in high school, still not understanding what I was experiencing. And because I have experienced like out of body experiences for so long, like I used to wake up for school. My mom would wake me up for school. I would fall back asleep, but get out of my body and start getting ready for school. So I'd stumble to the sink and like look up, and the mirror, there was like absolutely nothing, and it was pull me back. And I would actually wake up and get ready every single day. Every single day. And so, you know, it's just interesting, you know. And like there was one time where I really feel like I connected with the computer, like a wavelength in the computer too. Like I was asleep and I had sleep paralysis, and all I could hear was country music playing. And I was like, "There's no way country music would be playing right now." Like, just because there's no radio, there's nothing that could do this. And so I was laying there and I was like trying to wiggle my foot to get my mom. And I remember this, and the music was loud, like I was in an arena. And I said, "You know what? I can't get her. Let me go back to sleep." I dozed back off, woke up. I could move, no music in sight. And so I actually nudged my mom and I was like, "Mom, did you hear music?" And she was like, "Jasmine, what are you talking about?" Like it was one of those experiences. And then I had interviewed a guy probably a few months ago who had that same noise experience. It's like you are in the bubble of the sound, and it's all around, stereo surround sound in your head. Though
that's what I was trying to with the sound design of those sequences. It's like just that auditory compression. Mm-hmm. and then there's also like a straitjacket effect to it, that, you know, the more you struggle against it, the tighter everything gets to it. Mm-hmm. And the more oppressive and smothering it gets. Razor dropping reminded me of like the through line of cues from the real world, you know, terminating the dream sequence. And that frequently seems to align with it just coming to a pressure point, pulp, you know, like all of that condensation is happening. And it just strikes me as funny that, you know, it's, you know, this situation, this dream sequence, whatever, it's got some time understanding where it can kind of reach out a little ahead and get what's coming. Because how, out of all of these fucking dream sequences that I've had, it literally does build up, and then an outside cue is what will terminate it. But it does it on cue, and that just, it's weird, you know. A couple of, like the one where she was supposed to be coming home and the door was supposed to be the trigger thing. That's all right. But then that got stuck in a loop and just did itself like six times.
Oof, man, that's so scary.
but then you know, like you say, with the razor dropping, or like I got cats, so they'll knock something over on a table or something mm-hmm. like that, and that'll jar you awake and knock you out of this stuff. But yeah, the idea that struck me with the outside cue, that's such a through line too, and like that it's prescient. It like knows a little bit of what's coming, so that way it lines itself up with what's gonna happen.
It's so calculated. And I always talk to myself, because when I was younger, that black figure that I encountered was so calculated. It had a mind of its own, you know, and I believe it does, or it's a part of some big algorithm, you know. And when I woke up, it was no grogginess. It was like, I'm up, you know. And right at the end of the bed was this black figure. And it looked like the motherfucker pulled up a chair to sit down, because he was like, what's up, you know? And I was like, oh, it wants me to talk to it. But see, I was in that stage of like, I wasn't scared at all. But I was like, who is this? Who wants to talk to me? You know, but I was like, gotta let mommy know. And so I roll over and I'm like, you know, shaking her. The moment she got up, it disappeared. So that's the calculation I'm talking about. It knows what it's doing. And what its mission is, I have no clue. But I do know is that it wanted a child to talk to it or to interact with it. But I don't know what that interaction was, you know, what it could have been. And I'm actually happy that I didn't find out, because of what I've been listening to that's been happening to a lot of these people that were in the MK Ultra and those like deep space sort of like programs.
Yeah.
It's pretty scary.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's a different.
That's a track. Whole other wormhole, right?
but for sure. And for real, the malevolence behind this territory of thought. And that's, I don't know, you're saying like, what's some of the intent and everything. And it's like motivation and means of execution, right? Would indicate what's afoot. And restricting and wrapping attention, you know, forcing a gaze, as it were. That's again, it's a horribly cinematic thing. Like it forces your field of view to be something. It's a directorial condition that it makes you see things in a particular way. And so what's that doing? What's the thrust of the scene, as it were, then? And like I said, when I had the lesser vanishing kind of situation and that kind of switch, but the focus, the attention was just on a different vantage point, right? Light versus mm-hmm. dark, as it were, simply. And it pegs back similarly in that fashion. That forcing a gaze is kind of like on the, losing the thread. It's on the disposition of the looker, mm-hmm. right? Like, you can go into a comedy movie, never lasts once if you're going into it to be a grouch. And so with some of these sequences, it's like, we know the stories of some of this MK Ultra stuff. We know this, we know some of the lurkers and all of this kind of stuff. So of course, a lot of it is going to manifest itself threateningly and ominously. Mm-hmm. And then at a kind of a certain point, looking into some of the esoteric stuff, will with a capital W, you know, always becomes a thing, right? It can't kind of talk about this stuff without bringing Crowley up once in a while. Mm-hmm. So focus and intent of will is kind of what comes up, because it is seeming to focus and direct your will to its accords. So it's that kind of personal shadow work fight, you know. Mm-hmm. So at least in my experiences personally, rending that control to take the instinctually negative and reframing it positively, etc., is kind of what ritual magic is in itself, right? In that fashion. So I don't know. I think there's a little bit of that it's like, do something or things will be done to you, in the sleep paralysis. Like, it's trapping you and helping point out your paralytic, you know, trapped condition in life and all of these horrible postmodern woes and everything. So don't be paralyzed by it, kind of.
It makes me think about my interview with Kareem. Hey, Kareem. but he basically stated when he had his sleep paralysis, he had that experience where he had to walk past all his fears, which were shadow people, to make it out that window to fly. You know what I mean? And he did it. He had the balls to do it. And I was just like, man, how was it? And he was like, it was scary. They were there, you know, it was actually there, but he pushed through and he made it to a different layer of that projection. And it makes me think, you know, like if you really push through, like if you have sleep paralysis and you're being plagued, do you need to push through that scary moment to experience a greater experience on the other end? Like, are these shadow people there to stop you from experiencing the ultimate experience of the astral world, you know?
I can buy that. I can buy that, and then I'm buying another ish, because I'm just trying to give it a little benefit of the doubt, as it were, where it's like fucked up shepherds too. Because my first iterations of trying to like struggle against it or trying to like, you know, leave a sleep paralysis situation or whatever, forceful, right? Rather willful. You're going to try to struggle against it and move your body. That's why you track that it's got your body stuck. It's because you're trying to struggle against it, move with it. So, to me, it's not, I don't know. It's like, if it is trying to stop you from reaching somewhere, that's one thing. I think another phrasing is how. Like, it's making you beg the question of how you're approaching things. Because after a while, you know, you just get fucking tired of literally, like, struggling from that. Like, you know, you kind of, in the moment, feel like you're running a marathon or stuff like that. And so chilling on that front and then like recognizing, oh, okay, I can't move my hand, that I'm in kind of a sleep paralysis thing, and then kind of surrendering to the situation, I'll stay in sleep paralysis and I'll stay aware that I'm in it and that I can't move and shit, and maybe it'll be a 20-minute nap and then I'll just wake up or whatever, but the stress, anxiety and dread doesn't build up and it doesn't mount to, you know, shadow people in the room or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I personally, you know, put that the struggle against it, it's a boa constrictor quicksand thing. And you know, if it's something that feeds on fear, terror, and the lesser emotions, then like, well, yeah, struggle, strife, and you know, combat's a pretty good way to get that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, take that. Because it's not like a giving up on struggling against it, but it's not that I am, but it may be a Buddhist thing about it. It's an acceptance thing. It's like, okay, this is the thing that is occurring. What do you do with it instead of how do you stop it from occurring?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. It's just a deep discussion, you know, and it's so thought-provoking too, because what do? You know, like when you are faced with this, how do you go about it? Because there's no instructions, there's no manual. Mm-hmm. You know, there are groups and stuff, and there's people that say, how do I project? And then people comment, but it's only their idea of what you should be doing, you know? And so that's where I'm constantly, like, I am in a few of the paralysis groups on Facebook, but I'm constantly like struggling to even find myself commenting on posts, because a lot of people already have it made up in their mind, you know, what's going on, you know, and then they're spreading that to other people. However, how far have you really gotten in this, you know, like how well conditioned are you of an astral projector or an OBE-er that you can give out this information as fact, you know, and that's where I am.
And primarily as soul fact and everything. Like, I think it's always kind of just been funny in the material itself that, you know, it is about pluralities and multiple facets. Like, literally just the onion skinning, like, that's a whole time worm thing, you know. Like, I got into weird shit like this through Grant Morrison's talk at Disinfo, talking about chaos magic and sigil magic and everything like that.
I read it down.
Yeah, well, he's a madman, but amazing. Will and intent, you know, he was writing The Invisibles, I think, in the early 90s. I might be off on the time, but he got, like, deathly ill, and he implicated that into the narrative of the comic book in the main character, and then he cured the main character in the comic book, and then he cured himself in real life and everything like that, will and intention. Just listen to his stories, you know, it's great. But that type of focus, fixation on the matter is, like I say, just what kind of keeps coming up in it. And people presenting things as, you know, soul and true fact is, like, are you even listening to the experience itself? Kind of. Like, it's its own material informs that there are many versions of its own truth. So how can one thing be presented as such?
So, absolutely. Especially because this particular world is so unmapped, like you said, it's uncharted with maps. I'm sure there are people that go a lot of places, however, it's not recorded in our physical, you know, so it's still unknown to a very high degree.
Now we're just getting out into conjecture space, but, like, I'm gonna believe that all is going to latch up a lot more with some of the VR space stuff and augmented reality and VR goggles, because the translation, like, the map is not the territory kind of shit, you know. We're all talking about these things, and what's the best we have at the moment is getting things down on the pen and paper or down onto a screen, which is a little bit fancier of a pen and paper. Sure, there's some 3D models in there, but now that we're starting to see VR space and how that can kind of mind map things a whole lot, this map that you're talking about, I think would have a whole different set of legs than trying to execute it. Mm-hmm. You know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's not a map going to Georgia, you know, like one of those paper map quest maps. But, you know, I don't know. I think we need a bigger discussion, Pat. That's what we need. We need more folks. But I'm gonna wrap things up. Well, was that everything you wanted to discuss?
Well, yeah, man. Once we started talking about VR and everything, I think I ran out of things to talk about.
Yeah. So where I'm gonna end it here, guys, is there's a lot of episodes coming, and we have great people to interview, just like Pat, and we are talking about everything. Sleep paralysis, out of body, astral projection, it's all in there. So stay tuned, and feel free to join the Facebook group and follow us on Instagram. I'm always here if anybody has questions. And yeah, have a great day, everyone.